All right, we are back with you here on the Grant Napier Show. And again, I was just talking about the book, Baseball Between Us, 16 years, 32 ballparks, 43,000 miles, a roadmap to a winning father-son relationship by Mike Lurie with his son, Matt. Of course, you see Mike on local television for years, KCRA, and now CBS 13. And he's nice enough to join us. The book, again, Baseball Between Us. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Grant, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Tell me just, first of all, the premise of this book, because you see 16 years, 32 ballparks, and then 43,000 miles, and you talk about a winning relationship with what you and your son did. So give me the premise for this book.
Yeah, the idea was just to spend time bonding together, and we thought, what better way to do it than to be at the ballpark? We didn't start off, you know, by writing a book. I didn't have that in mind, but along the way, we got to meet some great players, including Maury Wills from the Dodgers and Bernie Williams from the Yankees and Dave Stewart from the A's, and I thought, you know, maybe this is something kind of special happening here, and then my son started acting up, as teenagers often do.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, there's something here maybe the dads can relate to.
You know, when you talk about this trip, and I've you know, peruse through the book here in a little bit. I love, by the way, the tidbits that you have in the back for people that travel and you want to go to a game and then see what else is in the city of particular interest. I thought that was great. But, you know, just talk about, you know, going from ballpark to ballpark. A lot of people listening say, man, that sounds great. It would be awesome. What are the challenges of doing that?
Well, the challenges are dealing with a teenager who doesn't want to get up in the morning. For starters, you know how they are. They like to sleep in, right?
Yeah, of course.
They have their own schedule. They have their own clock. And getting up in the morning, you know, it's 6 o'clock or something, because you have to drive 300 miles that day to get from Kansas City to St. Louis to see a game. Well, it's not quite a top priority for a kid that's 16 or 17.
And then you have to deal with weather situations and rainouts. Did you ever have that interfere with your plans?
You know, it's amazing, Grant. In all the games that we saw, and there were probably 32, 34, 35 games, we didn't have one rainout the entire time. I mean, it's just an amazing streak of good luck.
Mike, I mean, you know, listen, you go to all the ballparks. Some of these are new, some of them aren't. But did you have a favorite? Did your son, is there one ballpark that stuck out above the others?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to say it's San Francisco AT&T Park, you know, for so many reasons. Just, you know, the view of the bay is terrific. The ambiance there is great. The food is terrific. One of my favorite little things about AT&T that few people know about is the quote of Yogi Berra, quotes on the left field wall over by the Coke bottle there. And, of course, Yogi has nothing to do with San Francisco or the Giants.
Right.
For some reason, they put it there because I guess he's a baseball icon. And there are just some funny sayings that he came up with. And then, of course, you have the knothole gang over in the right field fence, where it's the only place in the country that I know of where you can actually watch a game for
That's
free.
Right. That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
What about, you know, we always talk about the old ballparks, the Fenway Parks, the Wrigley Fields. What about the intrigue about those stadiums?
You know, there's so much history there. It's really terrific. Fenway, I ranked number 3, right behind PNC Park in Pittsburgh, where the Pirates play. A beautiful park that no one goes to, unfortunately, because the team is terrible, but it's a great place to see a game. Fenway is, you know, historic, and I was telling my son Matt about it, you know, 1912, it's 100 years old. And he goes, well, Dad, we finally found a place that's older than you are.
Yeah, leave it to your son, right?
Right.
I'm reading a little bit about Yankee Stadium because of my interest in that. And that, you, first of all, that was another one where you had trouble getting your son out of bed.
Right.
I would think, boy, if you tell your son you're going to Yankee Stadium, they'd be up and about, but not him, right?
No, he had other plans, other agendas, which was to sleep in that day. But, you know, Yankee Stadium is such a terrific place. It's so historic. You see the monuments out there and just the history and the tradition. And I love the way they've done the new park. You know, they have all those banners, as you know, as you go in, and you see Bernie Williams and Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, and just the history just permeates throughout the place. It's such a fabulous place.
Now, were you in the old stadium, or did you get to the new one?
Well, we went to the new one together. Of course, growing up, I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut, just an hour from Yankee Stadium, so I went to games all the time with my dad, and one of the highlights for me, and I think this is how I got kind of hooked, was in 1963, he scored tickets for Game 1 of the World Series.
Wow.
And that was one of the premier matchups you'll remember. It was the Yankees versus the Dodgers. Whitey Ford on the mound for the Yankees, and Sandy Koufax on the mound for the Dodgers. And, of course, everyone thought the Yankees were going to win because they always won. So my dad got tickets to the game. That was back in the day when they played them in the daytime, so you got to miss school. So that was
good.
Cool.
That was good.
And so we went to the game, and I was convinced the Yankees were going to win. Well, that was the game that Sandy Koufax struck out 15 Yankees. including my hero Mickey Mantle
twice. Oh my gosh, how about that, huh?
And it was a loss 5-2, and the Dodgers, you know, won the game, went on to win the World Series 4-0, and I cried all the way home.
I bet you did. I tell you, my memories as a kid growing up and going to Yankee Stadium was we would always go on bat day, uh-huh. and we would go, you know, the whole 10, 15 kids would go with the parents, and you'd be so disappointed, and when you walk in, if you didn't get a bat that had Mickey Mantle's signature on it. You know, remember those days?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mantle and Maris and yep. Yogi Berra and Elston Howard. I mean, that was a fabulous lineup.
Yeah, I love your tone, because I feel the same way. The greatest sound of all was the rich and resonant tone of the voice of God, Bob Shepherd, the eloquent public address announcer for the Yankees, which I use, you know, to open up my show every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely, and he was great, and you know that tradition continues, of course, through Derek Jeter today. He's the only one that's still introduced by him.
That's right. What else about this book for people that, do you have to love baseball? Is it about maybe just a special relationship with your son? What makes this a book that for people that are listening that say, hey, I got to read that?
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, right up front, it's a baseball book, of course, but it's more than that. It's also a father-son relationship book. Growing up, challenges, you know, what do you do with a teenager who not only likes to sleep in, but, you know, at one point he decided he was going to start calling me by my first name. So instead of, you know, hey, Dad, it was, hi, Mike.
Oh, my gosh.
And dealing with that kind of arrogance and the flippancy and all of that. And there's also a travelogue part of it, too. We got to, you know, see various parts of the country, the St. Louis Arch, you know, Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, you know, the Fort McHenry in Baltimore, just a lot of fun stuff. So at the end, like you said, I put this little section called Baseball Bullets. So there's fun, family-friendly things to do in every major league city, whether you're a fan or not.
Do you like the ballpark better in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia?
Pittsburgh, definitely. And the great thing about that is you can actually take, and we did, we took a water taxi to the game on the Allegheny River.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that was a lot of fun. So you go there, it's sort of a different transport, and then you can walk across the Roberto Clemente Bridge because it's shut off for just pedestrians during the games. And that is a beautiful park. You see the whole panoramic view of downtown, and it's what baseball should be. Small, intimate, and right there.
Did you and your son like Safeco up in Seattle?
Oh, it was a great place. I love that park a lot. I think I ranked the parks at the end.
Yep.
I've got Safeco ranked, you know, about 13th or so, just
sure.
because there's so many others that are great. I love the Baltimore Orioles, you know, Camden
yep.
Yards.
That's great ballpark.
One of the original retro parks. And, you know, surprisingly, Grant, Comerica Park in Detroit is a great place to see a game.
Yeah, you've got that fifth on your list. And I agree with you. There's no worse place to watch a baseball game than Tampa. I mean, that place is awful. The Tropicana Field's terrible.
It's antiseptic. It's like going to a hospital ward, you know, to see a game. It's just, you know, baseball should be played outdoors, outside in the sunshine with green grass.
You know, it's interesting. Miami got a new ballpark now. It's got the roof that's retractable. I drove by that a couple of weeks ago when we were in Miami, and that looks like it's incredible. But I still wonder how the Marlins will do down there in that climate. When I mean climate, I'm not talking about the temperature, but I wonder how that franchise will do now that they have a new ballpark.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement with the new team. I mean, they've got Ozzie Guillen as the manager, and they've got Jose Reyes coming in as the shortstop. They've got you know, some new pitching. I think Mark Burley came over from the White Sox. So they've got some studs that are going to play for them, and if they win, they're going to generate some excitement.
You know, I'm curious because I agree with you on this. You have Wrigley Field at number 11, and there are so many people that always put that near the top of the list, 1, 2, or 3. And personally, I've never put it there, but I know a lot of people do, not just Cub fans, but boy, you go to Chicago, and it's like, oh, I've got to go see Wrigley Field. Oh, it was great. I love it. What's the intrigue, seriously, with Wrigley Field being so high on so many people's list?
You know, I think it's just historic and the tradition. You've got the ivy-covered walls out there. Babe Ruth hit a great home run there in 1932. That was the place where he pointed to center field. A lot of it's the fans too. You know, the bleacher bums in Chicago are great. You know, they're yelling and screaming at each other. They get very rowdy, very drunk.
Yeah, they do.
During the day games, and it's just historic. But you know, honestly, Grant, if you go there, the bathrooms are small and cramped and crowded and dirty, and the concession stands aren't anywhere near compared to other ballparks. It just doesn't have the modern amenities.
What's the neatest fan ritual that you saw? I know at Chicago they yell at each other from the left field bleachers suck to the right field bleachers in Yankee Stadium. The bleachers out there in the right field, they call out every single Yankee by name when they take the field, and they will not stop until the player acknowledges them, and then they'll go to the next player. Those are some that stick out in my mind. What do you think was the coolest thing you saw in the league?
Well, you just hit it. It was Yankee Stadium. Just to go there, and the pregame ritual of, like you said, the fans in the outfield and the bleachers yelling at every player until they, you know, he acknowledges, tips his cap, and then they go on to the next one. I mean, that doesn't happen anywhere else but Yankee Stadium. That was exciting, and that's just part of the tradition of, you know, being a Yankee fan.
Well, the name of the book is Baseball between us, 16 years, 32 ballparks, 43,000 miles, a roadmap to a winning father-son relationship. Mike, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me, Grant. And for people that want to know more, I've got a signing coming up, a book signing at Barnes & Noble this Saturday in Roseville from 1 to 3 at the Barnes & Noble there, and a website, www.baseballbetweenus.com.
Awesome. You said what time was that on Saturday?
1 to 3 on Saturday.
At Roseville?
Yes.
And at the Barnes & Noble?
You got it.
Great. Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Grant.
Yep, take care. All right. Mike Lurie, the name of the book again, Baseball Between Us. 339-1140. We'll open up those phone lines again, 800-920-1140. You can text me as well at 44-1140, 44-1140. Your thoughts on what we were just talking about, NCAA tournament. The Kings tomorrow against the Golden State Warriors, which means that I will be back out at the arena doing my show beginning at 3. I think the Detroit, I don't think, but I mean, when you talk about Detroit coming in on Wednesday and you've got so many games this week, it's part of the 66-game schedule. You play on Sunday. You play on Tuesday. You play on Wednesday. You play on Friday. You play on Sunday. How about that? I mean, seriously. How about that? By the way, I want to let everybody know that we will have the prize pack for last night's Tweet of the Game, which is brought to you by Petkus Brothers, and we're going to be doing that in the next segment. So if you sent me a tweet after the game last night, well, next segment, you'll find out whether or not you are a winner from last night's game, the Kings losing to the Atlanta Hawks. Don't forget that when we come back, we will take your phone calls. We'll have that. We'll take any of your text messages that are worth reading. And not all of them are worth reading. I mean, I want you to know that I will read the ones that I can, but not all of them. All right? Not all of them. All right, we will take the break. We'll come back for the final segment right here on 1140 The Fan.